Turning God's Word this morning, please, to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 4. We've come into the last chapter in our study in this book. Last time we have dealt with some of the opening verses. And that day that Ruth awaited, when Boaz would transact a redemption. We noticed last time he went to the gate of the city. We noticed how he was to call the other redeemer kinsman to his side. And he was to put the acquisition to him. All was going well until Boaz mentioned that if he bought the land, he must also get the hand of Ruth in marriage. And with that, the other kinsman would not redeem her. And so he drew off his shoe, a sign that that was the case. Let us read those verses just in context again, to give us the context for today. Chapter 4 of Ruth, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders, and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day, that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Kilian's and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate, and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. Let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Amen. And we'll end our reading this morning, the end of verse 12, knowing the Lord himself will add his own divine blessing upon the public reading of his infallible and precious word. Can we seek the Lord, please, for needed help as we come to the preaching of his word? Our Father, we thank thee for thy presence in our midst this morning. We thank the Lord for every head that's bowed. We thank the Lord for giving a good measure of health and strength to Dolly again and being able to come out to the house of God. We thank the Lord for little Aaron born into this world. And, O God, we pray thou would see that little soul early in life. Bless mother and father, child alike. But, O God, we turn to thee afresh this morning as thy children We desire, Lord, that Thou would speak to us from the Word of the living God. O God, shut us in with Thee. Take us, Lord, even to this gate of the city again. Help us, Lord, to hear the words of Boaz. And in hearing them, may we, Lord, look afresh to our blessed Redeemer kinsman, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray, Thou wouldst fill us with the power of Thy Spirit. Thou wouldst enable me to preach as thus and thus saith the Lord. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If we want a love story with real characters, which really happened, then we need look no further than the book of Ruth. At the beginning, we were confronted with three widows who were weeping. There were three funerals. But come into this last chapter of this book, we have a complete change. For instead of weeping, there's joy and unhappiness. Instead of funerals, there is to be a wedding. Instead of death, there is to be new life. We could say that the grace of God, which caused the latter end of Job to increase far beyond his beginnings, was the God who was about to do the same where Ruth was concerned. She who was to come to Bethlehem with nothing was to be blessed with everything. What brings about this great change in her circumstances? What makes the difference? It is her Redeemer, and it is her redemption. And that's what this little book of Ruth is all about, the glorious truth of God's redemption. And so while we could say the word itself or the words associated with redemption occurred once in chapter 2, and while it occurs 5 times in chapter 3, yet when we come into chapter 4 of Ruth, there rises to the great crescendo on this very subject for 15 times. Redemption or redeem, the words associated are indeed mentioned in this last chapter. The day that she had been waiting for had come. When Boaz was found at the gate of the city, and where he was arranging the matter of her redemption, the other kinsman whom we looked at and whom we recognized to be a representative of the law of God, which could never redeem us, he failed to carry out the part of the Redeemer's kinsman. And the way, therefore, was clear for Boaz. Boaz was to overcome all obstacles so as to fulfill the promise that he had made to Ruth. What he had promised, he would finish. And you know, men and women, he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In our heavenly Boaz, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also one who has overcome all so that he might redeem his people unto himself. I want us to see how her redemption was transacted. I want us to see the blessings that flowed from it for Ruth. For here you have a reflection of what Christ has done for His people. We're looking at the words this morning of verse 9, verse 10, and just the opening words of verse 11. I want you to see, first of all, the person of redemption in the gate of the city. Before the very elders and before the people that day, Boaz was to make a public declaration of all that had taken place. According to what the law had demanded, Boaz was to fulfill the part of the Redeemer. And that meant purchasing that which was lost. In the words of verse 9, look at it. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day, that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Kilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. You'll notice there the repetition of the word all. He was to purchase all that was Elimelech's, all that was Kilion's, all that was Mahlon's. There was nothing which Boaz didn't purchase. He was to redeem every piece of the land which belonged to the family from the hand of Naomi. It didn't matter what the price was to be. He was willing to purchase it no matter what the cost. And you will recognize and you will see from the words of the Scriptures that we're not given what that price was. We're not told what the cost was. But we don't need to be to realize that the entire inheritance of the family of Elimelech would have cost Boaz a lot. He was to purchase the whole lot. He was to purchase the whole inheritance. an inheritance which was lost to that family because of sin, because of disobedience. You see, if we can take our mind back to the opening verses of the book of Ruth, Elimelech was to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and he was to go down into the land of Moab out of the will of God, for he didn't trust God to see him through even the famine that had came upon the land in Bethlehem, Judah. And furthermore, we also recognize that not only was there the great price here of buying back all the inheritance, but furthermore, the taking of Ruth to wife, that wouldn't come cheap either. There would be the extra expense. But let's remember that the one of whom we're speaking about this morning in Boaz was a mighty man of wrath. We were told that in chapter 2 in the words of verse 1. Ruth could not redeem herself. Or consider that she was both a stranger and she was one who had nothing but poverty. She hadn't the wherewithal, indeed, to bring about her redemption. But in Boaz, she knew and she desired one who had and who could redeem her. And dear soul, what is true in the physical sense where Ruth is concerned is true also in the spiritual sense where it concerns ourselves. For we who were born into this world, we were that stranger. We were those who had nothing and could do nothing to redeem ourselves. The Word of God reminds us that in Adam we all fell in his transgression. Romans 5 verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 22. For as in Adam all die. Adam back in the garden, he disobeyed God. He stepped out of God's perfect will when he took of that forbidden fruit. And in Adam we lost everything. Upon perfect obedience, Adam and all in him had the promise from God of life. But should he disobey God, he then would surely die, the promise of life been forfeit. And Adam took of that sin, and he disobeyed God, and he went against God's will. And in Adam we all fell. We were all made sinners. Lost everything. But in the great plan of God, before we knew God, and while we were yet strangers and sinners, he was to send forth a Redeemer. And that Redeemer was the person of his only begotten Son, and the only one who was worthy to redeem. You see, if you turn over to Revelation, in the words of chapter 5 and verse 2, we are reminded there that the question is asked in heaven, and John on the Isle of Patmos in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he was to get a glimpse into the very courtroom of heaven. And he was to hear the question been asked in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 2 of Revelation, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And you'll notice what follows. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. There was found none who was worthy. Bless God, there was one who could break the chains of man's sin. And there was one who could redeem his people and give them life, redeemed through his blood. And John beholds this one in the words of verse 9 of that same chapter. Who is it? It's the Lamb standing in the midst. Let me read to you the words of verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Every prayer of a child of God is collected by God. In the vials, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast, look at it, redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There was found one. It was the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. The only one that was worthy to redeem the soul of man. And so can I finish those verses which I have already quoted to you this morning. In the words of Romans 5 verse 19. Although it says at the start of that verse, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, yet we go on, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." That's the second Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. "And as in Adam all die," let me finish it, "even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The Lord Jesus Christ, by His obedience, by His death, He would enable sinful, lost mankind to be delivered from their estate of sin and their estate of misery and redeem them back to God. We could not redeem ourselves. Just as Ruth could. No man can pay the price of the soul being redeemed. No man but Christ. May turn you to the Psalms. Psalm 49. In the words of verse 6. "They that trust in their wealth, boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for them, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." See the word "precious"? It means costly. The redemption of the soul is costly. It's valuable. And there's none that can redeem their own soul. But in our heavenly Boaz, in our blessed Redeemer kinsman, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is found one who could pay that price and who was willing to redeem the stranger and the poverty-stricken soul and redeem them back to God. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." You see the word "precious"? It's the same meaning, it's the same sense, costly. It cost to redeem the soul of man. One that could do that, and that was the Savior. What was that price? What was the price that the Savior had to pay to purchase His people, to purchase His bride, the church? The greatest price of all, even His own precious blood. For the Lord demanded, without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Only the precious blood of Christ, God's Redeemer, is valuable enough to redeem the souls of men from sin. And so, like Ruth, in Christ, we who were strangers and we who were bankrupt because of sin can be redeemed back to God, so that we are both now rich and we're both made nigh. And it's all because of Christ. For we remind ourselves of 2 Corinthians 5, or 8, I should say, in verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that lo, He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." How true are the words? I owed a debt that I could not pay, but Christ paid that debt that He did not owe. How well, and with great cause, we can sing of our Redeemer and of His wondrous love for us. The person of redemption is Christ, typified beautifully here in Boaz. But let me show you, secondly, the purchase of redemption. Naomi had assured Ruth in the last words of chapter 3 that the man would not rest until he had finished the thing that day. And so, with a sense of urgency, Boaz went about the business of redeeming not only the inheritance of Naomi that had been lost, but look at the words of verse 10. There was the purchasing of Ruth's hand in marriage. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. How beautiful that is put. Boaz loved Ruth. And because of that, he desired to own her. And the sense behind the word is that she would become, or she would be like a slave to him. That was his driving force and motivation of his heart in seeking to redeem Ruth. It was his love for her. It was his love. She came with nothing. But now she was joined unto him who could supply her with everything. And she was glad to join herself unto him. She was glad to be likened even as a slave. And I'll show you in a minute or two how that is brought out. What a story has unfolded here. How this girl from Moab had come home with Naomi with nothing. How she had been noticed. But more than that, how from being a stranger in a far country to being now a bride and part of the family of God. Boaz was to redeem all, and all was to be done properly and in accordance to the law. That's the testimony. That's the summary of not only Ruth, but of every child of God redeemed with precious blood. We were nothing. There was nothing in us that would warrant the love of God toward us. But nevertheless, God loved us so much that He willingly gave His only begotten Son to die for us. Christ loved us to pay the full price of our redemption and to be our Redeemer. There on the cross, the Lord was to purchase His people with His own precious blood. He paid the full debt for all our sin. For our sin had to be punished. And there was not one sin that wasn't paid for. If there was one sin that hadn't been laid on Christ, then not one of us could be saved. Not one of us this morning would have the assurance of one day of being with Christ in heaven. But God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And thus, when a soul receives Christ as Savior and Saint, you come to the knowledge to know that your sin is punished and has been punished and dealt with in Christ, in your substitute, the one who died in our stead. Just as Boaz could not and would not ignore the other kinsman, so God, in the salvation of lost mankind, did not wink at. He did not ignore sin. He could not. But rather, through the death of the Savior on the cross, the penalty required for our sin was paid for. And it was His love for us that He willingly gave Himself. Let me rehearse some of the verses to you from God's Word that speak of that. Galatians 2, verse 20. Apostle Paul could say, "The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Ephesians 5 verse 2, "Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us as an offering, as a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour." Verse 25, "Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." You notice in each of those three verses, there is the thought, Christ gave Himself. That's the outworking of the Father's love. That's the outworking of Christ's love for His people. Boaz gave Himself. He gave His all. Why? So as to redeem Ruth. And so as to take her to be His wife and His bride. I mentioned at the very start that she was happy to be looked upon as a servant, a slave. You know, when you look at the epistles of Paul, and especially the opening verses of them. Paul is often found calling himself the servant of Jesus Christ, and the word means slave. Paul, as every believer, has been purchased, and we, like Ruth, were happy to be called a slave of Christ. There was a time in which we were a slave to the devil. Christ has redeemed us on their side. Whose slave are you this morning? Are you a slave to the old devil still in your sin? Are you a servant of Christ? But consider with me also the privilege that this redemption would mean to Ruth. She of the tribe of Moab were forbidden to enter into the congregation of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. They were forbidden to enter into the congregation of the nation of Israel. Those were the two tribes that come out of the incestuous relationship with Lot and his two daughters there in the cave. And they were forbidden to enter into the nation of Israel. But because of her union now to Boaz, she was afforded the privilege that instead of being excluded, she was welcomed. She had an entrance into the very congregation of Israel. Oh, because of her redemption. And her acceptance was on the basis of grace. It was the grace of God that brought her out of Moab. It was the grace of God that brought her to where Boaz was, that brought her to that field of Boaz. It was the grace of God that caused her to be loved by Boaz and to be joined unto Boaz in marriage. And it would be even more so the grace of God that would find her in the ancestral line of Christ, the very Messiah that was to come. And thus, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 1 and read the words of verse 5, who do you read of? Ruth. That only speaks to me of the matchless, sovereign grace of God. Of a girl who was forbidden to enter into the congregation of Israel. And yet now she's brought into the very people of God because she was in union with the Christ. What a redemption. The redemption of the sinner from the slave market of sin. And brought unto Christ is likewise all of grace. You're in this service this morning and you're not saved. How can you be reached? How can you be saved, dear soul? Is it through your good works? Is it through your church attendance? No, for Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at the words of Titus chapter 2. And the words of verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All of grace. Boaz married Ruth because he loved her. You'll notice the purpose in that marriage was to preserve the name of the dead. The words of verse 10 again, the wife of Mahlon have I purchased to be my wife. Raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of this place. Ye are witnesses this day. The name of Mahlon was not lost in Israel forever, but it was to live on because of the marriage of Ruth and Boaz. And thus the inheritance that was purchased by Boaz that day, in time to come, it would therefore be given over to the offspring of the marriage. Boaz was to give life where death had reigned, and so it is with the people of God. We who were dead have been made alive in Christ, all because of our Redeemer kinsman and the work of our redemption and the work of the Savior's redemption, and our names have been taken and have been placed forever in the Lamb's book of life. Child of God is characterized by abundant eternal life. The ungodly, the unseen, the cut off, will not be remembered. Where are you this morning? Do you have the assurance that your name has been penned by God into His record book in the Lamb's Book of Life? You only come to that assurance when you come to Christ. You accept of God's free salvation for what He has wrought on the cross of Calvary. Ruth knew that she was purchased. She rejoiced in it. Let me finally show you here the proof of redemption. Boaz stated that he had performed the rite of the Redeemer kinsman. The change that made to Ruth is implied there. He said, Ruth, have I purchased to be my wife? She was never to be the same again. For because of this redemptive work, Ruth had both a change in her possessions and a change in her position. She that had been in poverty was now in riches of wealth. Ruth, who was but a lowly handmaid, was now elevated to being His bride. And that speaks of the great change, and it but typifies the change that is wrought in the soul of the one who repents of their sin and by God's grace is brought into union with Christ. For one of the proofs of redemption is the change that has been wrought in the soul. God's redemption, it takes a condemned sinner, it lifts them from the dunghill of life, and it lifts us and it makes us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. It takes the pauper and it changes them to being an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. One day to reign with Him on high. Testimony of God's people is of the change that the Lord has wrought. And dear soul, if there is no change in your heart and life, and you profess to be saved, but there's no change in the ways that you used to walk, then there must be an examination of whether the root of the matter is really there. For when God does a work of grace in the soul, it will be in evidence. Now that, of course, is not the popular evangelism that is preached today. The easy believism that is lifted up before men and women. Just stick your hand up. Just sign a commitment card. Ah, dear soul, listen. A corpse can't commit themselves unto anything. And that's the way the Bible describes you this morning if you're not saved. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. And raising your hand doesn't save your soul. Or signing a commitment card doesn't save your soul. That's only the easy believism that has flooded the land. The proof that Boaz had fulfilled the part of the kinsman redeemer, it was abundant here. Look at the end of words of verse 10. He says, ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Not only were there the 10 elders there, but now the crowd had also gathered. And they cried, we are the witnesses. They were to see the fulfillment of the law carried out before their very eyes. Was there any less proof of where our redemption was concerned? With the words of Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Let me read verse 2 to you. Until the day in which He was taken up, that is Christ. After that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. There were many proofs in His life, in the Savior's death, in the resurrection that the moderns likes to attack, and in His ascension. At every point, at every pillar and foundational stone in the message of the gospel, there were witnesses of those things. There were many proofs.
They were all witnesses to the Savior having come to complete the work of our redemption.
Even God the Father was heard on several occasions to speak from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The proof is all there. The work has been finished. The tomb is empty this morning. And the Savior is alive. He bears the marks of our redemption. But the question is this, dear soul, have you received Him as your Redeemer? Have you accepted Him by faith? Have you repented of your sin and turned to Christ to save your soul? Does your life bear witness that you're one of His? Can others see the power of God at work in you and know that there's a difference? That's what it ought to be. That's what it is in a true conversion. There's the change. There's the proof. You haven't been to Jesus. You come just as you are this morning. You don't have to tidy up your life first. But come and repent of your sin. Come in simple faith and lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and to forgive your sin. Thank God He saved your soul. And you can go home rejoicing and singing of your Redeemer. May God help you. May God bless this word to each of our hearts for His own name's sake.